The following episode is intended for mature audiences. Parental suggestion advised.
Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Welcome to our podcast. Hope you're doing well. I'm Barry Johnson, your host. This is my co-host, Mr. Adam Beebe.
Hello, Barry. How are you doing?
Great, great. Doing great. And yourself?
I'm doing all right.
I'm trying to stay positive because it's so freaking hot outside. I'm just like losing my mind. It's awful.
Yeah, it's been hard. It's been a hard summer. It's cooled down a little bit here, but by that I mean low 90s, you know, upper 80s, but still that's better than it was, you know, in the when it was in the upper 90s and hundreds. Yeah. And I know it's not that gotten that for you. I know you're still in the hundreds down there in Oklahoma.
Yeah, there's about a 20 degree difference between you and us today.
Wow.
It's insane. It's, you know, it's like 110 heat index, which I mean, you know, that's what they say what it feels like.
Right, right.
Who can tell the difference between 3 degrees, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's like, yeah, it's still like somebody left the oven door open, regardless, right.
Oh,
you know?
It is. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, I walked past my truck after I shut it off after I got home, and I could tell it was just a little bit warmer by the truck, but still hot as hell when you got away from it. So it's like, oh, man, this is like a convection oven, man, you know?
Yeah. For sure, dude. So. Well, you know, that is, pardon me, got a little frog there in my throat. Hey. That's summertime, you know, especially there in Oklahoma, man, you know, it feels like the oven door's open and it's the dry heat.
Yes.
And, you know, I can handle that better than the humid. You know, we talked about this before.
Yeah.
I think everybody knows that humidity makes it just when you're going out and you step outside and you're just covered with sweat, like you got to take another shower.
Yeah,
you know, and you get that, you know, you get the swamp down there. You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We.
Think they call it the wolf in Ireland or something like that. You know.
Yeah. When we went down to Alabama for our vacation, we're down there on the Gulf Shore, which is right next to Pensacola. Oh my god, it was so humid, man. Oh, it was so humid. And it was like, you know, the temperature difference, not bad, you know, because they're relatively like very similar temperatures, you know, like mid 90s, high 90s, maybe once or twice into the hundreds, but it was just so freaking humid that you'd want to just take a shower immediately and then get out and then an hour later want to take another shower, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh. So
that's the South, man. That's what it was like living in the South. You know that from living in Florida, and I lived all that time in North Carolina, you know, and at least when you're on the coast, at least you got a little bit of that ocean air coming in.
Right.
But, still it's that dirty South, that heat, hot, humid South.
Yes.
Drives the people crazy. Yes. And this is actually kind of a segue into introducing this week's guest. This week we have with us, we have Birdshot. That's his name. His given name is Lee, but he goes by Birdshot, and he's and Scum Daddy and some other colorful names. We're going to put a warning in front of the episode here, in case we forgot, though. This is where you want to tell the kids to go and listen to, you know, Peppa Pig or whatever, something else, Disney Channel or something, man. Because Lee's
Anything else, really. Even a Tarantino movie, maybe.
Yeah. But Lee is a native Mississippian, and he is he's got stories that he described as Mississippi white trash heap, living and fighting, and he's also a traveling sideshow performer. And so he's going to tell us some stories from that, from his career and his life on the road. Because, you know, I mean, sideshow performer is a weird job. So you're going to have lots of weird stories there.
Yeah.
And he does. He has some great funny stories that they can get a little blue and, you know, language as well. And yeah, so, you know, we're committed to let him express himself and not censor the words per se, but it's funny. But, you know, it's a little bit, some people might call it toilet humor. My mom would not particularly like this episode. That's fine.
Yeah.
But it was talking to Lee was such a blast.
He is a character, man. He's lived more lives than I have, and I've lived a pretty good life this time around, but this guy's lived about three or four of my good lives. I mean, his whole world is just so different than anything that I've been around, you know, for a long period of time. Anyway, the sideshow thing is just a different world. Incredibly entertaining. His stories are incredibly entertaining. I can't wait for people to listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, as you noticed, the title of the episode, which is Disgusting and Fun. you got the setup for it. So anyway, let's get to it. Lee, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
Well, hey guys, I'm Lee Kilpatrick, aka Birdshot. No one wants to be Birdshot. Everybody wants Buckshot, but you earn the moniker Birdshot whenever you get shot in the right shoulder with a 410 packing Birdshot. we'll get into the other nicknames in a bit, and we'll get into how I got that nickname in the first place in a bit.
Cool.
So I come from a place called Jasper County, Mississippi. It's outside of Laurel, Mississippi. They film an HGTV show there. Mm-hmm. Some people listening to the podcast might be familiar with that. I'll talk about what I do as a performer and life on the road and some of the adventures I've gotten into.
Great.
So about 20 years ago, I was working at a record store in Laurel, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And I was bored sitting out front, so I tied a fishing line to a wallet. Threw it out in the sidewalk, and a fella comes walking by, and I reel him on in all the way up to the record store. And this guy winds up being Jeremy Kennison of the Cutthroat Freak Show.
Oh, okay.
I was about 16. He was about 19 at the time. So we instantly became friends. We determined quickly we were both clowns. So, about a year into our friendship, we start trying to come up with an act. We want to perform. Mm-hmm. So we come up with a little sideshow bit type things, and I play guitar. Eating glass was one of our first things. Blockhead, the trick where you put the nail in your nose, mm-hmm. that sort of stuff. I even managed to get in trouble in high school for skipping class to be on the radio to promote. One morning I'd skipped school and we went on the radio to promote the show, our very first show, and afterwards we're at Jeremy Kennison's house eating cereal and my mama pulls up. She's not happy at all. Turns out she was on the way to work and heard her son on the radio when he should have been at school.
Oops.
Oops, indeed.
Couldn't have gotten caught more red-handed on that one, man.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know what I was thinking. So we immediately get hauled to the high school where we have a parent-teacher conference with the principal. Where he tells my mother that he has performed several demonic exorcisms in that very same office. I guess implying that I had a demon in me.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
He said that, and I looked at my mama. I said, you see why I ain't been going to school? But so after a few years of that, Jeremy winds up moving to Phoenix, Arizona, and I stayed behind. So I just did band things locally for nearly 20 years. Mm. And last August, I get a phone call from him. We had kept in touch always. I get a phone call from him. He says that they've traveled through Mississippi, got a last-minute booking in Hattiesburg, which was like 30 minutes from where I live, asked if I want to come be part of the show that night. And that's where I met the Emotron.
Ah.
He was touring with them. I wound up doing one of my contortion gags where you get some girls up on stage, tell them to try to touch their elbows together behind their backs. Remember telling girls that in eighth grade?
Yeah, of course.
No comment.
You get three volunteers up on stage, watch them struggle to do that, tell them to get the fuck off my stage. You're useless, you're pathetic. And then show the crowd that it can be done because I'm real stretchy and I can do it.
Right.
So after the show, Jeremy and Scarlett Storm, who tours with us as well, and she's also in Thunder Snow Cone. After the show, they start laying it on thick, trying to convince me to leave. Oh, you don't like this place no more. You ain't got nothing here. Come on, get out. You funny. You play guitar. Come on with us. So I hop the van with them, go to New Orleans, do another show with them there. And that's where I really became a fan of the Tron.
Okay.
One of his songs, Busted, he has a line in it where he says, I've been fucking up. I've been falling off. Well, at that show, he carried it out for a minute and a half till everyone in the crowd was like, and deep self-introspection, like, damn, I have been fucking up. I have been falling off. But during that show, two girls from back home made a trip all the way to New Orleans to come pick me up and bring me back so I couldn't escape. And I let one of them break my heart a few months later. So I guess 2 months after that, it's around April, I'm in a deep depression, living in a trash pile. I've got another one. What I call rescue girls that I've got living with me. One of those can't get away from her man. Yep. She's addicted to drugs. All right, yep. Girl, you can move in for a month or so. Yep. And get clean. And I'll fight your man if we have to. Mm-hmm. That seems
that's
to be
part
a
of the deal. Okay. Part of the deal. Yeah.
So after about a month of that, Jeremy and Scarlett Storm, they're coming back through Mississippi, need a place to crash. They can't get no work done in New Orleans because there's too much party to be done. Mm-hmm. So they stay again and they start laying it on thick again. Hey, you need to leave with us. You need to leave with us. So I did. Come riding home from lunch, I told that poor girl, I said, hey, look, I'm about to hit the road with them. You're welcome to just live in my house for however long you need, but I'm gone. I grabbed two shirts, two pairs of pants, my guitar, an amp, and my tools, just a bag of tools, and loaded in the van and started driving. So we drove straight to Memphis that day and did a show. And Jeremy said, just get up and do your stand-up routine. You're funny. Just, tell your jokes, play your guitar. So we do that. It went over all right. It's kind of weird just making up a whole act out of nothing. So, you never know what's going to go over well or not. Mm. But we saw that my sister fucking jokes went over real well in Memphis.
In case you were wondering.
Okay, I'll get into them in a minute. So we get to after that show, the very next day, we drive all the way to Knoxville, Tennessee. And we do a show there for an erotic art party. And this thing is, it's crazy, guys. It's this huge bring your own beer event. Okay. They've got all kinds of art that they're selling, sculptures, paintings of dicks and vaginas everywhere.
Yeah.
They've got cat girls
yeah.
on a platform, going around on all fours, batting each other's tails that are actually butt plugs sticking out of their asses.
Okay, with cat girls coming out. I'm interested. I'm interested.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I had me a problem with those girls, and I knew it from the get-go.
I could only imagine, man.
I stood behind that stage and watched them until I had just sweat profusely dripping down my face. I had to go outside and have a cigarette. I told Jeremy, he's like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I'm going to have a problem with those, especially two of those cat girls over there is too much. Later on that night, we're in the middle of our set. While I'm not on stage, I run to the dressing room to get a glass of water. And the two cat girls I particularly was having a problem with was down there. And I'm getting a glass of water, and one of them says, "Yeah, you need more alcohol." And I said, "Oh, I don't drink." And she says, "What do you do?" And I said, "I like to get my heart broke by girls just like you two." So I finish pouring my glass of water, and I'm walking out the dressing room, and one of them has the nerve to say, ask me, "Did you like our asses?" I mean,
what kind of question is that?
Oh, I turned around and I laid it on him. I said, "Let me tell you girls just how much I loved your asses." It just feels yeah, I had to run back out and finish the act after that. But that's where I really nailed down my my sister fucking joke routine. I say, I'm from Mississippi. I know exactly what you guys look at this redneck sister fucking trailer trash from Mississippi right here. And I'll let you know something right now. I ain't even got a sister. That's how you know I'm still a virgin.
Oh, man.
Oh, look, guys, it's always it's never where you're at, no matter what geographic size you're talking about. It's never where you're at. That's the sister fuckers. It's always those guys next door.
Yeah, yeah.
So in Mississippi, it's we're not sister fuckers in Mississippi. That's those fuckers in Alabama, Tennessee.
Same thing in Oklahoma, man. That's
it's
what.
All Texas. All right, so,
yeah, it's all so Texas and Arkansas. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we grew up, we're both Okies, and so, yeah, we're always, like, pointing at Texas and Arkansas for anything. So, we get that for sure.
So, you can shrink it down, and it still works. Barry, what county are you in?
I'm in Garfield County.
Oh, y'all ain't sister fuckers in Garfield County. Where's the sister fuckers?
Well, the people in Kingfisher County are the sister fuckers.
Yeah.
More toward the south end of the county.
That's our home county, apparently. So just for those who don't know.
Oh, I see I got a couple brothers here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You boys got any sisters?
Oh, that's a touchy subject, man. It's all good until it's your own sister, you know? It's all funny.
Hey, nothing says love like family.
That's right.
Why go down the road when you go down the hall?
If you're not good enough for your own family, you're not good enough for anybody else's.
Yeah, so we have a real killer show in Knoxville. So then we trip on to North Carolina and stay at another performer's house. She's a burlesque dancer, does an excellent act where she pierces herself on stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's Queen Monkey is her name.
Okay.
So we get to North Carolina to her house, and I'd never met her before, but I'd heard what she does. I asked her if she would like live music for her act, let her pick out a song, and I wrote a new song kind of based on that kind of that feel. Uh-huh. So what we do whenever she's with us is I play guitar and she strips and pokes holes in herself, bleeds all over the stage.
Okay.
It's a pretty interesting thing she's got going on there. But she let's see, we continue doing shows around North Carolina while we prepared for a tour to Birmingham. And on that tour, this performer from Thunder Snow called Rebel Rabbit joined us and toured with us all the way down to Birmingham. And let me tell you guys, that was probably the craziest tour I've ever been on in my life. We wound up saying every day, we would say, "How is today going to be weirder than yesterday?" Watched a drag queen in Asheville, North Carolina, eat a dog turd on stage.
That's that very, very, very divine and John Waters inspired, sounds like.
Exactly. But we tour on down to Birmingham. I got a gang of stories about that trip. We wound up after I think the Chattanooga show. We wound up, somebody. We never had to pay for a hotel or sleep in the van. We got hosted at every city. Mm-hmm. So our hosts in Chattanooga this guy brings up you know, some drugs. We do some drugs, and wind up. I was doing a card trick, and somebody said they wanted to play. They wanted to play cards, so I dig 43 cents out my pocket and tell them the game is Mexican Sweat. Y'all familiar with that game?
No.
It's a poker variant where one of your cards, you don't ever see it, but you stick it on your forehead.
Oh, facing yeah, yeah. Head.
All right, so we played that till I turned 43 cents into $6. And and after the girls went to bed, the hosts, they still wanted to keep playing cards, but they wanted to play a Texas Hold'em. Mm-hmm. So then I turned $6 into $50 playing Texas Hold'em.
Damn.
Had to tell them that I was going to feel bad if we didn't stop. It was time to quit.
Yeah.
But the very next night, we had the night off. We go to a drag show at some club in Asheville, and that drag queen that ate the dog turd asked Jeremy Kinison to choke her out. So there's a big crowd of people watching him choke her out, and then this giant guy asked Scarlett Storm to choke him out with her legs. And she's tiny, like maybe 5'1", 5'2".
Yeah.
So they hop up on a pool table. And I can send you guys pictures of this. It's insane. This this guy, he's like 6'6". I mean, just a muscled up guy. She choked him out in like seconds.
Oh, dude, that's partying there, dude. That's
man.
Partying.
Oh man, it was intense, like fucking in the woods. But we. We travel on down, hitting, you know, various cities. The girls had a photo shoot booked in Atlanta, Georgia, at this place called the Goat Farm. And it's where they filmed District 12 in The Hunger Games.
Oh, okay.
Or if you're familiar with the movie California with a K.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's where they filmed that opening scene. Hey, Dale, put your titty up. It's that.
Yeah, one of Brad Pitt's finer performances.
Yeah, for sure. Harley, what was his name? Harley something in there, I think.
Yeah, he plays
an incredible movie.
Yeah.
God, I haven't thought about that in years.
Yeah.
Peaches. So, so we trip on down. We get to Alabama. After the girls had a photo shoot in Atlanta, we get to Alabama and play a show in Huntsville, Alabama. And that was a place we had never played before. And that crowd was hungry for weird. Now, at the end of the show, we do a thing called staples. And during staples, members of the audience can staple money to either Jeremy or Scarlett or whatever, you know, girls that do staples is with us. We had another performer by the name of Violet Ginn. She was with us that night. She does staples too.
Okay.
Now, I had not done a staple in probably 20 years. So, you know, people staple 5s, 10s, 20s to everybody. And then we take a collection and we'll staple something weird on one person to something weird on another if we get $100.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking about like stapling Jeremy's nut sack to Scarlett's tip.
Oh my God, man.
Now I saw a couple years ago, I saw a thunder snow cone come through in Cincinnati. And I've seen, you know, I've seen Scarlett and Rabbit, and I've seen some of the shows and the stapling and all of that stuff. So I actually know what you're talking about.
So this
and
is a sideshow type thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm not super familiar, so gotcha.
Hey Barry,
yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker, chupacabra.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. cats. They're the ones on the edge. You know, they're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun.
Hey, have you ever heard of the impotent sea snakes by chance? You ever heard of them?
A glam band from Atlanta?
Yes.
I have not, but Trinehaw heard you ask the question and said he had.
Oh, okay, so they're part sideshow and just crazy, crazy shit. They do crazy shit. I don't think they're still around anymore, but they owned a club in Atlanta.
The Masquerade.
Yes. Is this still around, Emotron?
They just switched locations a couple of years ago. They're in underground Atlanta now.
Okay.
They're not in old ass mill anymore.
Okay. They got in a ton of trouble for doing crazy shit. I mean, they were always like getting wherever they played, they got banned. But then they also owned this venue. They opened up the venue, and so bands, pretty good sized venue too. I'd say what? Probably 1,500 people, 1,000 people, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good size. But I saw a guy get shot right outside of there one night. Yep. I mean, total murder right in front of me. So,
damn.
That's. Wow. But anyway, I didn't know if you'd heard of those guys, Impotent Sea Snakes, because it kind of falls into that category, you know, of what you do, the sideshow thing, you know, although they're a band, but, you know, that kind of genitortures type thing, you know.
Oh, man, I haven't heard that name in forever, dude.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So back to the story at hand. Where you last left us.
So we got, wait. Look,
we got a ball sack getting stapled to a titty is, I believe that's the correct term, right?
We're taking collection for that, and... on stage, Scarlett's got the microphone saying, you could staple titties to titties, pussy to pussy, dick to pussy, whatever you want.
Oh, man.
And she says, hell, for $200, we'll staple Lee Cephas's dick to Jeremy's dick.
Dude.
I've never seen us get the money.
Oh,
faster.
No, dude.
So
you had to do this, man? You had to do
this? Oh, yeah. Look, we gathered up we got the $200. Yeah. And Jeremy takes the microphone and he asks him once again. He says, What do you guys want? Y'all got enough money for whatever you want. We can do pussy to pussy, titty to pussy, whatever, trying to really lay it on thick that we could do something other than dick to dick.
Yeah,
and
this
fellow by the name of Tyler Jordan, he wound up actually getting a video of this. The crowd is chanting, dick to dick, dick to dick, dick to dick, dick to dick. Bloodthirsty.
Oh, savages! Those savages.
I've got a picture of the aftermath. I'll send you guys of and these ain't your teacher's stapler that was on her desk, stapling papers. This like is like construction stapler.
Oh fuck, man! Oh my god!
So. This fella that was the highest bidder, he put in $60 so he could do the stapling, and he stapled, and what we do is we don't actually put our dicks together and staple them together. We use like a money bridge, so you staple like a dollar bill to my dick and then the other end of it to his dick.
All right.
And then of course you get the staples, then you got to pull them tight so everybody knows that it really got stapled, and take your hands away.
Oh God.
Yeah. That was the first staple I took in 20 years since we had just been playing to see how bad staples hurt, whether or not we could use that in an act.
In the dick. So, the first one in 20 years in the dick.
In the dick. Huntsville, Alabama is thirsty for some dick on dick genital torture. Just so y'all know, they definitely ain't sister fuckers in Alabama.
Yeah, right.
They something else.
Oh man, isn't that so? Like, isn't that crazy too? Because like, when you think of the South, you think of this very wholesome place, right? But like, the truth of the matter is that people are weirder in the South. I think their weird is a lot more hard to get the head around because it can be so many different things. You could be conservative, but you could be gay, cross-dresser that likes to show up to these shows and watch two people's dicks get stapled together. It just all makes sense, you know, in the South.
They keep it hidden under a bush, right. if you will.
Yeah. The
pendulum has to swing back as far as it went forward.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
So whenever you have a conservative culture like that, there's going to be a counterculture that is just as fucking weird as the conservative culture.
Very true.
So in places like that, we really do well in places like that where people are hungry for something weird.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
We did that in Huntsville, Alabama. After the day after that show, we tried to go swimming. We had been wanting to go swimming the whole tour, had not come across a pool, or if we did, it was raining. So we go to go swimming, and it starts raining on us. So we go back to the host's house, and we're just sitting around. We got some beers. I grabbed a guitar. We're just going to do drunk sing along till everybody takes a nap. There's this knock at the door, just so I was like, what is that, the fucking police? And Jeremy hollers at the door, are you the police? You know, you have to tell us. And the host, he gets up, opens the door, and I'll be goddamned if it ain't a puppet, a police puppet. So one of his friends has stopped by with a puppet that's a policeman. He comes in, he's got a metal briefcase full of fake $100 bills and fake guns, and and two. I don't know what kind of scumbag shows up to a party with just two kinds of vodka. That's what he brought for the party. But we and his
name
is
one for him and one for the puppet, man. One for him and one for the puppet.
he goes by Sheep Shears, and Sheep Shears threw us a crazy puppet party with fake guns, fake money. Things got totally out of hand that night. There's a picture of me laying kind of passed out up against a chain link fence out in the yard. One of the girls, Violet, that tours with us, wrote a Mississippi Scum Daddy on it. So that's where I got the Scum Daddy nickname. Is that night, one of our friends had an ex boyfriend that's kind of a douchebag, and I had commented on somebody else's Facebook profile, and he just replies to my comment, which is scumbag. So we all heart like that shit, just went to town with it. Because thanks for the material, friends. So we trip on down to Birmingham, Alabama, and get to some clown house. That's the only word I got for it. That's two clowns live there. Two local sideshow performers. And I'll be goddamned if Birmingham don't pay $200 for Nuts to Nuts.
Oh my God. Your poor package.
Just back to back. Oh. Or I guess Nut to Nut.
Oh. Gosh, man. And being on the road too, like, so I can imagine, because you get, you know, there's not oftentimes that you get, you know, consecutive days of being clean.
Yeah, you don't get to shower just about every night. Yeah. So and being up on stage, regardless, you're gonna be sweating your nuts off. So yeah,
right,
absolutely.
Let alone,
it's the stage funk, man. Right. You know,
yeah. Let alone being brutalized.
Well, you know, sometimes it's a tough choice between, you know, you can get a shower that night at the host's house and miss some of the party.
Right.
I don't fucking think so. So, you know, you go all night, you lie to yourself, oh, I'm going to get a shower in the morning, knowing good and damn well you don't wake up till 2.
Yeah.
And then you got to hit the road.
Right. Right.
And plus, money's disgusting.
Oh.
Yeah. I used to handle a lot of cash, you know, being on the road, and I would just like, I started getting the rubber gloves to handle it, dude, because, you know, you get all the nasty sweat and shit, you know, mm-hmm. that money's been in somebody's ass pocket, and mm-hmm. now you're handling, you know, it's just like, ah.
Kitty money.
Yeah. Exactly, man.
Ooh, kitty money's nasty in the deep cell.
It's awfully hot down there, dude.
Oh, soaking up that sweat. So, we finished up that tour to Birmingham. On the way back, we dropped Rebel Rabbit off at the airport in Atlanta. And we tripped on to another goat farm, a fella out in somewhere outside of Atlanta. Maybe it's way outside. I don't know.
Florence, South Carolina?
Oh, that's in South Carolina? Yeah. It's in Florence, South Carolina. Not okay. even Georgia. I don't even know where the fuck I am. So,
Emochon for the save for the second time.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. We trip over there, and this guy is a character. We get there at midnight. He meets us outside butt naked. I was like, oh, that kind of party, huh? So we called up. We tried to catch up with him on whiskey, tequila, and beer until about sunrise. We're all butt naked. Me, Jeremy, Scarlett, and this guy, we're all butt naked. You guys might have seen some you might have seen some pictures. Scarlett Storm was butt naked with a deer at dawn.
Okay.
Did you follow her on Facebook?
I think I've seen those, yeah.
Yeah, I took those just a few weeks ago at like 8 o'clock in the fucking morning. That's partying all night.
Nice.
We stayed out there for like three. We were supposed to stay one night. That turned into 3 days. There was fishing to do, swimming to do, playing with tame deer.
That's really cool.
Oh, that's, man,
definitely it was a unique experience for sure.
It was super special to us. But after that, we get back to North Carolina, and I think we stayed for 3 or 4 days, and then we had the heavy Rebel Weekender in Winston-Salem, North Carolina to do. Mm-hmm. Wendy and I were booked for a burlesque set. Scarlett just went knowing good and well somebody would have her perform, and Jeremy too, and that all they performed with Deadly Lo-Fi and somebody else. But we stayed there from a Thursday to a Sunday, went back to North Carolina for a day, then Scarlett and I drove all the way to Philly to stay with Rebel Rabbit for 12 days. And that was one of the most lit times I've ever had in my damn life. Philadelphia is disgusting and fun. Like after... For about 10 days, I suddenly understood what their whole hockey mascot was about. Y'all familiar with Gritty?
Yeah, the Philadelphia
Flyers mascot? Yeah, yeah. I understand he is the embodiment of the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, for sure. Philly is an interesting town, man. That is for sure.
Yeah, it's such a neat mix of history and stuff happening.
Yes.
Saw some of the most impressive drag shows I've ever seen in my life, and they weren't even like big to do things. One of them was just like an open mic night drag thing.
Uh-huh.
And those girls just killed it. It was amazing. Another one was the girls tried to sabotage each other's shows with different things. It's good. It's real good.
I've heard about excuse me, I've heard about the Philly drag scene and like how crazy and like just like you said, like over the top and everything that the performances are. That's really awesome, man.
Oh, it's mad impressive. I was just, I don't know what to say, mollified. I didn't know people could be that talented in the drag scene. Where I come from, the drag shows aren't that fucking impressive. But there in Philly, it's a real art that they do. I was super impressed with everything that I saw in that community up there, aside from one drag show. We went to some dive bar that was having a drag. They have drag shows at their dive bars in Philly, y'all.
Yeah.
That's like, what is going on here? You've got a drag show in a dive bar. Well, in our dive bars, that wouldn't, back home, that would never fucking fly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No, it's really impressive how inclusive of a community they have there. It's and only one person made fun of my accent the whole time we was in Philly.
Yeah.
One, I was mad impressed with that.
Well, it's funny too, though, when you think about it, though, because geographically it's kind of close to the South. Like, they used to, before I moved to Pennsylvania, I lived in Bethlehem, Allentown area for a while. I had a friend of mine, and he said, "Oh, you're moving to Pennsylvania," and I was like, "What?" He goes, "You'll see once you get there." And it does have that sort of rural kind of feel, you know, not Philadelphia, but I mean, outside there, it's very rural, and you know, you get Amish around there, you know, and it's interesting, man. It's a real interesting slice of life in that area, you know.
It really is. Yeah, like you said, yeah, you know, there's rednecks everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
In every state, it's just that in Mississippi, we just don't have any big cities to counterbalance that.
Right, right.
And our biggest cities are on the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah. You know, I drove through the South because we went on vacation down to South Alabama, Orange Beach, the Orange Beach area.
All right, Orange Beach is nice.
It's very nice. But driving through there, you forget, man. There's from Oklahoma all the way down there, there's no major interstate. There's no major interstate to hit. You hit I-10 once you get down there. But, like, you're driving through what they're calling, you know, highways, which are just, you know, four-lane traffic-stopped, you know, roads that go through towns that you got to, you know, mind speed limits. You don't get on the freaking interstate and just cruise for 3 hours, you know? So you're you know, the sense of community is a little bit different in rural Southern America than it is in other places because, you know, you don't have that escapability, you know? It's like you got to go through it, you know? It's beautiful and, you know, interesting.
It's a real interesting shift in gears going from, you know, a place where, I mean, there's where are you going to escape to whenever you're living in Jasper County, Mississippi? Where are you going to go to have fun? I got to drive an hour and a half to go to New Orleans.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If I want to go somewhere to have real fun.
Right.
There's nothing in Mississippi, like, even like Biloxi, mm-hmm. On the Gulf Coast, that's not that fun either.
Right.
Yeah, well, like I said, we grew up in a small town, about 3,000 people there in central Oklahoma, and we were about 45 minutes away from Oklahoma City. But even then, growing up, Oklahoma City, it's changed a lot now, but mm-hmm. man, back then it was
a small town. It was just
a really big small town. There wasn't a lot of fun. There wasn't a lot of stuff mm-hmm. going on. You know, you really had to dig. If anywhere, it would have been like Norman, where you had some. That was the pocket of weirdness, you know. Right. At that time, and so now mm-hmm. they've got it's gotten a lot different, and Oklahoma City's really like kind of come to age, which all happened after I left Oklahoma. I do not think there's a correlation, but it got a lot cooler, so
yeah. Well, yeah, but you know, it's man, that is interesting, because it really does have a lot to do with it, the way that your character develops, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, you know, you grow up in a small town like that, and you're always looking to get out, and especially you got a personality like you, you know, mm-hmm. where you're like, dude, I want to staple my nutsack to whatever tonight. Like, I got to get out of town to do that, you know?
Well, you know, the dream is, you know, staple your nutsack to, you know, Rebel Rabbit's tit, but, you know, they never want that.
Of course, man. They're not going to give you what you want, man.
But so we left Philly just this past Sunday, and I just came straight to the Tron's house and been staying with him, volunteering where he works, just shifting gears again. We don't have another tour planned till what, September?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have another tour planned till September, but in September, we're touring. Cutthroat Freak Show is touring with the Emotron. So that'll be Scarlet Storm, Jeremy Kennison, the Tron, and I. And the Tron and I are going to do a new thing. We've got the Tron Twins.
Okay.
Set that we're working on, and it's actually an acoustic guitar singing set.
Wow.
And we're still doing the Tron songs, but now we're doing them in a different format. I'm really enjoying it. I've been a fan of his ever since I met him. Actually, really, the New Orleans show last year, that one of his songs really resonated with me. So I go home, start watching lyrics videos of some of his other songs, and start realizing, oh, shit, this is a lot of relatable content.
Mm-hmm.
That song, Coin Collector, I've told a girl before, give me back my Injustice for All album. I want to listen to one.
Right.
You know, after-
right. Yeah. That's great.
So we've got that coming up, which we're real excited about. We're going to do a little bit of the Tron Twins stuff locally for some of the shows he has booked already.
Cool.
Oh, I didn't mention, when we was in Philly, I went with Thunder Snow Cone to West Virginia. Hey, they ain't sister fuckers in Virginia. Where's the sister fuckers? West Virginia. No, we are. They had a show at a strip club, which is a really awesome thing when the girls have a show at a strip club, because they get to get naked. Yeah.
Right.
That's always
right.
They make good money because everybody wants to. Hell, Rebel was just hosting and somebody noticed she had a fanny pack on and was that, can I put money in your fanny pack? Like, it's a whole nother environment there at a strip club. That was a lot of fun. I did the drive-in, roadie-in and security work for that.
Cool.
Which is real nice. I don't even have to get on stage.
Well, that's great. You're a man on the move, man. You like to shake it up and you like to do different stuff, man. I think that's really admirable, to not stay, settled for too long,
Mm-hmm.
Get on it.
I get in a bad depressive funk if I don't have lots of projects and things going on to keep myself busy.
Right.
I know how that goes, man. Yep. For sure.
Yep.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YE r-weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, that's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon, so just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of their shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook, show your love, show us what you got. Let's see your true colors.
Birdshot. I promise I'd tell y'all how I got that nickname.
Yeah.
My second wife shot me in the right shoulder with a 410 pump with birdshot in it, point blank. Her.
Oh,
and now I had no idea what was going on at the time. Apparently, she was trying to hide an affair and decided that killing me would be preferable to that being found.
Damn.
So I had no idea anything was even going on. I think she thought that I had figured it out, but I had no clue. So that's how I wound up with the nickname Birdshot. I still got 26 pellets in my right shoulder.
Wow.
If y'all were was here, I'd let y'all feel them. I like to tell people, you want to feel my pellets, girl?
Wow. Wow.
For a long time, I like to say that I got a type when it comes to women. I like hot, trashy bi girls that are crazy as fuck, had about a mile of dick. That's my right there. That, hey, one of those girls that come to New Orleans and one of those girls that come to New Orleans and brought me home last year. I got involved with her, let her break my heart real good. Now, I watched that girl cut her first husband with a knife one time, and I still got involved with her.
Oh, shit. Oh my.
Oh, well, man. You know, I suppose it's important to know your type, and especially, you know, when your type is full of surprises. So, yeah. that's a leg up, you know? I mean, yeah. That's a positive thing, you know?
Well, yeah, I don't know if... it helps knowing what to go after, but it don't help with the aftermath.
Yeah,
I can typically I can tell within a few minutes of meeting a lady. Oh, that's a crazy one right there. That's just my speed. That's what I want. I want that to break my heart. been actually working on healing myself from that kind of stuff. Girl I'm involved with now actually has her shit together. She might be a hot, trashy bi girl that's crazy as fuck, but she doesn't seem like the dangerous type.
That's good. That's very good.
Good.
She's not the bad dangerous. So, yeah.
Right. You got to have them a little bit crazy, or else it's just not fun. You know what I mean?
Well, if they ain't crazy, the pussy ain't no good.
Right.
Hey, I tell you guys. I'll tell you guys what. I developed a method one time on how to tell how good a girl is in bed, and it's foolproof. So how many, you know, we all know that how crazy they are directly correlates to how good they are in bed. Well, however many abandoned Facebook accounts a girl has directly correlates to how crazy she is, directly correlates to how good she is in bed. So if a chick you're talking to's got like 13 abandoned Facebook accounts, get that shit, dog.
Just don't expect a long lasting relationship.
Well, just try to stay out of it. You got to, There's another method to determine how dangerous they are. Uh-huh. Now, these crazy girls are always, their hair is always going to be dyed some unnatural color. And how dangerous they are goes just like with heat from cool to hot. So if they got their hair dyed, you know, electric blue, that's safe. If it's hot pink, she's going to cut you.
That's great.
Oh, those two are my favorite dye jobs right there. So, man, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for that shit. Every time. Oh, you guys, you got some hair that can't exist in nature. Won't you come over here and hurt me?
That's a good point.
Oh man. Yeah, well, you know, hey, man, just like in nature, you know, it's the more spectacular the color, the more dangerous the creature is. So,
right.
You know,
right.
I've had that exact same thought, like them poison arrow frogs.
Exactly.
Nature's trying to let you know, stay away from that one. I'm just one of those idiots. I said, you're going to give me some of that. What's that, poison? Don't mind if I do.
Lord.
Great stuff, man. Great stuff. Yeah, you got some crazy stories, man.
Oh, yeah. I get told that a whole lot. It's, you know, we've all got crazy stories.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to find good ways to tell them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, not everybody gets into the dumb shit that I get. I mean, hell, one time I was dating this girl and she went and spent the night with her best friend, and the next morning I text her to see how she's doing, and she tells me, oh, I didn't sleep worth the shit. My girlfriend's dad kept me up all night trying to wake me up, get him to come sleep with him. I got no patience for that kind of shit. So I said, I'm gonna beat his ass. I'm about to go borrow a car. But I didn't have a car at the time. So I walk down to my grandparents' house and walk in. I tell my grandma, hey, grandma, I need to borrow your car right quick. I got to go to Williamstown, beat somebody's ass. But grandma hands me the keys. She's like, you know, don't take long. So I get over to this house and I'm about to walk in the front door. And my girlfriend, she meets me right there at the door. And she's like, no, I'm leaving right now. I was like, all right, good. I wait for her to walk out, and I just walk right in behind her, close the door, and lock it. So she can't even come back in. And I walked to the living room where that girl's daddy was. I told him, I was like, hey, you can't talk to Rebecca like that. You can't touch her like that. And he stands up, and he says something, but I wasn't listening. So I fed him three rights, and he fell back in his chair, but my hand hurt. He was built like a damn rock. Ugh. So I was like, oh, I may have fucked up. So I climbed behind him in the chair and started choking him out. And he's just about to go out, and his daughter, my girlfriend's best friend, she comes in, and you know, this is some Mississippi trash. I mean, the trashiest of the trash. So I just hear, Lee, stop. That's my daddy. So I tell her, I was like, all right, I'm going to let your daddy go, but he's going to have to act right. And I'm just going to leave. And so I get left, we get back over to my house, and my girlfriend's talking to her girlfriend, and she says, everything's cool. They're not going to press charges or anything. Apparently, he had already been warned before my girlfriend got there. Hey, she's got a new man and he will fight. So everybody was like, oh, all right. Well, you know, he asked for it. He'd been warned.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Man.
Oh, man. Colorful life. Colorful life.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Dude, those were, man, amazing, some amazing stories. We appreciate you coming on and telling and sharing, and for all the laughs, man, that was a blast.
Yeah, so good.
So, thanks for having me. It was a good time.
Of course, man.
Yeah.
And you're welcome to come back anytime. You got,
for sure, you man. Know,
new tales to tell.
I'll cook up some more stories for y'all, see what else I got in the old memory bank.
Cool. Sounds good, man.
Cool.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, and for Tron for his guest appearance back there, and always a pleasure to talk to him. And well, good luck on the tour coming up in September. Hopefully, we'll get some of our people listening here to go out and check you guys out and follow you on your Instagrams and all that stuff. Do you got any kind? What's your Instagram or anything you want to plug real quick?
The Instagram is birdshot_Kilpatrick. And also anyone can look me up on Facebook. It's just Lee Kilpatrick. I'm probably the only one in the United States, and I got a public profile, so you can just follow me if you want.
Cool. Awesome.
Awesome. And of course, Emotron will be right there as well with you, as he is right there with you, leaning over your shoulder. like a cat. He's like a cat perched on
here. Lying. I'm not here.
That's the guy from Quantum Leap.
That's the guy from Quantum Leap, y'all.
Awesome. Well, Lee, thanks again so much for being on the show, and Tron, thanks for hooking us up. We good luck out there, man. Bring us back some more crazy stories.
Well, do.
Sunday, October, Saturday, October 19th, Enid, Oklahoma, at the Enid Brewing Place. Barry, what's it called?
Enid Brewing Company on the corner of Independence and Maine.
That's right. Hopefully we got your attention just now. That's right. Saturday, October 19th. You've heard us talk about it. We're talking about it again. Our very first live event, What's Your Beer Story, where we're going to be featuring your three hosts, co-hosts, telling and sharing true life stories of the beer kind, the had too much to drink kind, the hold my beer, etc. kind. And we are inviting you to be there to share your stories as well. You can try out the variety of beers available and made exclusively by the Enid Brewing Company, including co-host Barry Johnson, who is one of the brewmasters there. And also hear some funny stories and have a good time and just catch up with us. It'll be a fun time. We're going to do stuff. It'll be hilarious. It's going to be fun. We'd love to see you. Join us Saturday. October 19th, 2019, Enid, Oklahoma.
Anytime it comes to genitals and sharp objects, I get real squeamish, Oh, my God. I mean, I had a friend once who had a piercing, you know?
Yeah.
What is it? Uh-huh. Prince Albert?
That is on the, in case our listeners don't know, that is on the tip of the penis, where the piercing is going through the opening of the urethra, but then also down through in the flesh of the usually on the underside, but I suppose you could go through the top to the head or on the sides if you want. But yeah, that's what the Prince Albert is.
Yeah, I mean that's heavy duty.
I don't have one. I just knew some piercers,
right?
And that was one of the Prince Albert's one of the more common male genital piercings. Yeah,
right. Don't you think that the Jim Rose Circus played a big hand in all that stuff, like from Lollapalooza, like in the early 90s, like all the crazy piercing and stuff? Like, I think that it maybe had something to do with it.
Well, I think there was a lot of influences. There was that, as far as in America, there was that. But it also got to where, men would wear earrings again. Because I got my ears pierced in the 90s,
right?
And I think, didn't you get one? And so it was kind of like it, in the 80s it was came into fashion. It was early 80s with like the new wave and punk stuff, and then it kind of went back down.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 90s it kind of started growing back again. I think the Jim Rose Circus was part of it. I also think there was a lot of it that came from some of the underground kind of techno or early electronic, early techno and goth and industrial kind of movements was and also incorporating like BDSM and kind of stuff like that.
Right.
That came out of like the UK and Germany and some places like that.
Yeah.
So I think there was like just a lot of things that started kind of, pushing to where people were getting more and more body augmentation done, but it's just like people like picked up on it and it just really, took it to extremes. The early 2000s, everything was extreme, and it's still like that out there. So
I have my nostril pierced and I had stretched my earlobes, and that was painful the first time that you stretch them. I never stretched them real big. And I had a friend who owned a tattoo shop, and they did piercings and stuff, and always had the carte blanche of, if I wanted to get anything done.
Right.
But the big stuff was like stretching to zero gauge even was like, I was like, man, I don't know if I want to do that, And you see these kids now, man, they're freaking huge saucers, man. Like African, like those African tribes,
Yeah.
But and then they stretch the nostrils. You seen those guys? They stretch the nostrils. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, man, there's that, and there's a lot of the subdermal implants that are popular in some areas and subcultures and stuff, and where people get like everything from like rings and to horns to whatever underneath, the skin, and it's like sometimes it'll be just where it pushes the skin out to form a kind of shape, or it's just like it's like a piercing where you have something coming out, but it's planted underneath. And, that's not me, but it's cool. I got no problem with people doing whatever they want with their own body.
Do what you want. Yeah, for sure.
But like, it's fascinating. I don't know. I don't need one. I don't need any kind of thing like that.
Right.
I don't know. But, I got distracted. No, I got thrown off.
Great. Why I asked that was because I felt like, with Birdshot stories, like it started to make me think about why I wanted to get tattooed and why I wanted to do these things. And part of it is, I think, seeing that different culture that you have no history with, and you see the extremes, and you see that the things that are happening, and it makes you go, huh, well, that's kind of interesting. That kind of piques my interest a little bit. Maybe there's something to this, And I think the sideshow performers, they've always been known for, featuring outlandish, weird things. and tricks and even just personal lives that are put on display, you know. And Birdshot kind of shining a light on that really just made me think, oh man, this is a crazy, crazy, cool, weird world, you know, that he lives in. It's great.
Well, it's, you know, it's like, it's kind of like, you know, he ran away with the circus, but he ran away with the, without the animals, he ran away to the freak show, the fun side. And, you know, I don't know. It's like, just hearing all his stories, man, it's just like, wow, if I was, you know, younger, maybe more, I'm not a performer. I'm not a really like a live performer or anything like that, but like, it would be fun to do that, to be on tour with a, with this group, especially, you know, I mean, hearing all their stuff. I don't party like crazy anymore, so that also may not be advantageous.
I think there's a little bit of an aspect to the party that is a prerequisite.
I used to maybe could hang. Can't hang anymore.
Yeah.
But, you know. But yeah, dude, like, God, that was just, there's, you know, and I know we only just scratched the surface with Birdshot there, you know, for the circus show stuff, or the sideshow stuff rather. And, you know, and then his hometown stories were just as, man, I mean, those reminded me of our hometown. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of any small town
for sure.
And, that was just good stuff. But, you know, I mean, that was just so much fun.
Yeah.
Talking to Lee and hearing all of his stories and, all of that stuff, and you know, and he and Emotron popping in there to help out,
right?
Was so
great. It's really what it makes you think about is just the characters that we've been able to get onto the show over the past year. It just never ends with people that are interesting. You know, I've never been a fan of vanilla people. I just haven't. I would rather be in the presence of somebody where they're not afraid to quote unquote show their ass, you know, a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean,
I do.
You know, I just,
I do.
Those people are more interesting. Maybe it's because I grew up with my father that I'm drawn to those people, because my dad was kind of that person, even though he had another side to him, but he was, he's always in for the joke, you know?
For sure. So for sure.
That's kind of, you know, that's kind of what this episode made me think of, you know.
Now, if your dad could only, you know, hammer nails into his skull.
I'm sure he tried. I'm sure I'm sure he tried.
Oh, man. Well, you know, we appreciate Lee coming on. It was great talking to him. And we have next week, we've got a really big, really big interview for us. We have Dr. Louis Turi, and he is a multi-time UFO abductee, and he's going to be telling us about that, but he also is going to tell us about his abilities that were given to him to make predictions, and he's got some predictions that he's going to share with us next week, and it was really, really great talking. We had a really long conversation, so we're going to have to whittle that down a little bit, but it was really great talking to him, and he was such an enthusiastic and entertaining and interesting guy. And he's also French, but he's been in America for a number of years now. He's an American citizen, so don't worry about that.
Those of you that worry about that.
Yeah, those of you that worry, don't worry about that. He's an American citizen. So, but I mean, such an interesting guy, and he's got, you know, if you feel like it, check him out before it. He's got an internet. He's all over the internet, and his last name is Turi. He's Louis, or like we would say Louis in the United States here, but Louis Turi. He's got written all sorts of books, and he's got all these things, and he's got some really interesting ideas that a lot of people that, you know, might not necessarily, you know, gel with, but we're just here to hear the stories, and man, some great stories.
Yeah.
So check us out next week with Dr. Louis Turi, And the week after that, next week is week number 52. So the week after that is our episode number 53. And it marks our 1 year full complete Earth cycle around the sun to the day of our first episode. So we'll be having a special episode that's going to be Mr. Johnston here and myself and our special correspondent, resident Bigfoot expert and occasional co-host, Mr. Jeff Hubbard. And we're going to be discussing some things. We're going to be talking about some of our favorite parts and bits from the past year. We're going to talk about some frequently asked questions that we get about the show and about what we think. And we got some other stuff coming up for it too. So that'll be fun. So tune in next week and the week after and every week after that, until the end of time, you know, asterisk, you know, I don't know when the end of time is going to be or when the end of the show is, but it's still going to be a long time. So tune in every week or download every week, follow every week, rate and review every week. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.